check, please. For me, the worst part of dining out with a group of friends is the end, when the check comes. Unless you're dining with that baller friend who's all about paying for everyone, this is the moment of truth. The moment when the table gets real quiet as the server delicately places the bill on the table, enclosed in a pleather-bound billfold or attached to a quirky postcard or ironically trendy abstract item. This is the moment. The moment that most of us start masking a very mild level one anxiety attack. It's the one moment in the dining experience that most of us would rather eliminate. But in the end, it has to be dealt with. So what are some of the strategies one can implement to get through this sometimes awkward moment? I have all the answers. You're listening to the Hungry Medium Podcast Show. I'm your host, Kat Niambi. Here's what I've been thinking about lately. Let's get it on and pop it. Hey, everybody. It's me, the Hungry Medium. I am back. I haven't been around for over a month. And I apologize because I know you guys are waiting with bated breath to hear what I need to talk about. So I wanted to title this, it's going to have its title, but what it really should be called is A Night of Two Dinners. Bum, 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 bum. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- And I had two dinners tonight because I double booked. And I'm greedy. So I was okay with a night of two dinners. Bum, 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 bum. Ba-da-da-bum, bum, bum. I was okay with it. I had booked a dinner, an early dinner. Well, no, I booked a dinner for 7 p.m. and then we switched it to 6:30, which was fine. And that, we had that on the books for a while. And then somebody else came around and said, "Oh, I'm gonna be around, la 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 la. Can we meet at 4:00?" And I was like, "Well, 3 hours, I could eat for about an hour, get some little rest, and then go to the next thing." That was the plan. So I was gonna have at least an hour or maybe even a 2 hour break in between eating. And the 4 o'clock deal was gonna be my first time eating. So I'm really trying to get you to understand how hungry I was by 4 o'clock. I'm gonna have to tell you the names of the restaurants. The first restaurant is Peaches in Bedford-Stuyvesant. And we met up at 4 o'clock at the restaurant. And I know that they do this little switch, this little downtime for about an hour. I've been to other establishments that, they'll have like a very limited menu of like, olives or things they don't necessarily have to cook, like tapas, whatever, just little things, maybe even some French fries because the fryer is the fryer. That's not a big deal, I guess, unless they're changing oil and I don't know what they're doing back there. So I had the sneaking suspicion that Peaches wasn't going to be the kind of place where you know, I thought they had a limited menu. I just thought they did. So I said, oh, we'll probably get a little minute. That's perfect for me because I have to go to the second dinner right after. But we get there and guess what? We get there at 4 o'clock. Keep in mind, I have not eaten all day. Okay. I had a Starburst and a mint. That was it. That's all I had to eat. So we get there and they say, we're not serving anything from the kitchen until 5 o'clock. I mean, if I could tell you what my stomach was doing at that moment, my stomach was basically cursing me out. Like, bitch, did that man just say we got to wait another hour? Ugh. So anyway, so I wait this hour, but we put our order in. We were the only customers they had, and we told them, please take our order now. And then, excuse me, I'm drinking water today. Y'all have to forgive me. So please, you know, take our order now. We'll give it to you this moment. So as soon as 5 o'clock hits, I could have some french fries at like 5:05, 5:10, the latest. Takes our order. We put all the orders in. I couldn't even order a drink because I hadn't eaten all day. I'm a professional. I'm not drinking on an empty stomach. Nah, that's amateur level if you do that, okay? Just listen up. If you do that, you're an amateur. So, of course, the food did not come at 5:05, not even the starters. Of course, the food did not come out at 5:15. We literally got our appetizers, which consisted of french fries, and then my dinner mate were having some wangs. So I ate those french fries at 5:30. Like, I just took the entire handful of fries and threw it in my mouth. Like, I was just so freaking hungry. I ate them by myself. I don't even remember asking anyone if they wanted some. So now it's 5:30. How much longer, being the only customers in the restaurant, should we expect to see our main course? I'd say they give us about 10, 15 minutes to eat my fries, and they eat their wings. No, that would be asking too much. We got our food at about 6 o'clock. So why am I telling you any of this? I mean, this is kind of like getting roundabout to the issue and the topic. Hello. Of this episode. So this episode, I believe we're going to call it Check Please, right? Because one of the worst feelings in the world is to, you know, that moment when the check comes to your table, right? And everyone's acting like, you know, oh, I don't see nothing. Some people are just like letting it sit there. And we know this is the moment of truth, right? This is the moment where we have to decide. So it's awkward sometimes. And my second dinner was with a group of two women that I had met. One I met at the Women in Hospitality, Women in Hospitality organization. And why am I in a Women in Hospitality organization? Hey, that's a whole nother topic, right? And she had a friend, and she's a millennial. I forgot to mention that. Her name is Chloe. Hey, Chloe. She's a millennial. And I just find myself hanging out with millennials, I guess because my daughters are away. But, you know, I'm young at heart. I'm young at heart, and I'm young in my head too. So I like to talk to young people. I can't keep up with the music. I'm not even going to try. But I do like their viewpoint. So she invited another friend whose name is Leia. And we had, now here's why it's even worse that it's a tale of two dinners. I went to Peach's first for the 5 o'clock dinner, which was supposed to be 4 o'clock. And then the plan was I ended up at Peach's Hot House, which is walking distance. I ended up there for the second dinner. So I thought that was so ironic. And no shade to Peaches. I like Peaches. I'm just giving you one incident of where the food took longer than it needed to. That's it. When we got our food, the food was excellent. Everyone enjoyed their meal. So now we're over here at Peaches Hot House. And I'm meeting up with Chloe and her friend Leia, who I was just meeting for the first time. And we were coming up with, they said, you should do a podcast about this. So I said, oh, okay, that actually is a pretty good idea. Let's talk about the moment of truth. Let's talk about the moment when the check comes. And what are some strategies? Because, you know, I really do have a certain level of anxiety. And when I say anxiety, it's just like, it just creeps in there. It's nothing that's going to send me to a hospital or make me take pills. It's just the moment of, oh gosh, what? Especially when you're going out with new people. So I'd never gone out to eat with Chloe and Leia. So that's why it's even more like, okay, let's see what this is going to be like, right? But this is why I like to go out and do things with millennials, because they have no shame in their game. They are very laissez-faire, la-di-da, about little nuances, you know, little expectations in society that, you know, some of us would think is just like, oh my God, I'm not asking that. I'm not going to inconvenience. But let me tell you, millennials are all about loving what they do, and they are all about convenience. That's one thing. I talked about that in the podcast episode called The Future. It's all about convenience. And maybe that's really what, you know, the thought process of millennials and I don't know what the next levels are called. Somebody get to me on that one. I forgot. I think that's really what we find so appealing about them, you know, is that they want, they go for what they want and what they love, versus, you know, our concept of what they should want and what they should love. And that's what I like about them. So I decided to take the, and let me tell you, they taught me something. And this is one of the strategies that you can try, when, you know, you're not really sure how this is going to be done financially, you know, and I have a rule. So this rule that I'm telling you about, and this discussion is really about 5 or less people, because I personally don't, I refuse. If it's more than 5 people and it's out, you know, not, let's say it's family. That's one thing. Cause family, you could curse out and be like, you know, but people you don't know, like a group of friends and you don't go out with them that much, 5 or less. And if I am by chance, I actually avoid groups larger than that. Oh yeah, we're gonna go out to dinner. It's gonna be me, you, doo doo, blue boo, da da, bonson. I'm like, nope, no, sorry, I can't make it. Because I know when that check time comes, it's gonna be a problem, and I personally don't want to experience that. So the first rule, if you're trying to figure out how to deal with that check situation, is avoidance. Avoid going out. Just don't go out. That's a solution. Next level, you could be like me and have this rule of five or less. So then, you know, and then you could even do less, you know, you could even do a three or less rule. I'm not going to eat out with more than four of us at the table. That's just my rule. Chloe had an interesting strategy. She says, I thought this is so sweet. And I'm sorry, Chloe, I'm just not doing this because this could get out of hand with the kind of people I hang out with. But she tries to mirror, like be the last one to order per se, and just mirror what other people are doing, especially if alcohol is involved, because alcohol is what makes the check go just, that's where they make their money. What a lot of people don't realize is restaurants make their money off the bar. That's where the real money comes from, okay? And so people are ordering and ordering and ordering and ordering drinks. Oh, my God. I'm not going to mention my friend who lives in Massachusetts. Every time. I love him, but he loves his wine, honey. Do you hear me? Loves his wine. I remember, I'm not going to tell that story. I'll tell another time. Maybe I'll even have him on the podcast. He would love it. I love a blind shout out. He knows who he is. So Chloe's strategy of, you know, basically mirroring what other people are ordering so that you end up kind of even. I think that's like super sweet, super considerate of her. And since I am not super sweet and super considerate, that's nothing, that's not anything I can really do. But also, some of my friends are big drinkers. I'm not mentioning any names. And I'm not going to try to keep up with them. And they'll probably say, I know she did not just say that. They probably think I order more drinks than them. I'm sure it would be a healthy debate, but not to get on to that issue. So we're not talking about 30 to 50 people here. That's a whole nother situation, okay? 30 to 50 people or even 20 or 15 or more people, I would discuss that ahead of time with the establishment. You know what I mean? That's a whole nother thing. In fact, I like to do, if it's me organizing it, I like to do a prefix menu, right? And then I ask all my friends to give me X amount of dollars for this prefix menu. This way, everybody has given their allotment and all the money situations are handled up front with the restaurant. I love a prefix menu. It's just so perfect. They have choices. I make sure everybody's covered. I love that. So those are a couple of strategies just in terms of before the bill comes, right? There's avoidance. There's the four or less rule, five or less rule. There's the mirroring rule. Another rule that I think would be good, another strategy would be just to say, you know, before everyone starts eating, how are we paying for this, y'all? You know, you could be that person. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So besides the little strategies, I always like to take a look at the roles people play once the bill does get there. Oh my God. This is something to see. And everyone knows someone who falls into one of these roles. So you have the accountant, right? The accountant is the person everyone looks to just size up the bill first. In my house, it's my sister Patricia. In my, you know, family, it's my sister Patricia. She always looks at the bill first. and we all just sit back and relax. And she'll do all the calculations, and she'll just come up and say, and then if it's somebody's birthday, she will pass it around with a little note on it to each person so that the birthday person doesn't have to hear the details. It's just perfect. You ain't got to worry about nothing with her, the accountant. Okay? But then there's a little offset from the accountant. You know, it's like the accountant's alter ego. It's almost like the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde relationship. The accountant is cool. The accountant solves things in a calm manner, not making any, you know, biased decisions. They're just, you know, looking at it, and they're actually judge and jury and everything. Everyone's just so confident in them. The other person, or the other side, the underbelly of the accountant, is the itemizer. Oh my God. I cannot deal with the itemizer. I love the accountant, but I hate the itemizer. The person that is like an accountant, like I said, but now they're saying, well, I had this, and Sally, you had that. But they're not really doing no calculations. They're just now telling everybody what they had to eat and what I had to eat. And I don't like the itemizer. I don't like him / her / them. Don't like him. They just seem to, you know, all about trying to make sure they not going to overpay. Listen, this was a friendly ass dinner until you made it ugly with your itemizations. I can't stand them. Now, I have two characters. They're a play on the whole concept of thing one, thing two. That Chris Hayes does at the end of his show, or almost the end of his show, but also the characters from The Cat in the Hat. Okay, let's get it right. These characters are called Split 1 and Split 2. So let's talk about the Rational Split 1. Rational Split 1 is just, we're all going to split this. Okay, does everybody agree? Split this even. You're looking up and down the table. Everybody head nod. That's rational. Let's put this even. But, and almost like the alter ego that I was talking about before, the alter ego of Split 1 is that they want to split everything equal. But they had the most effing drinks, okay? They was drinking like 15 drinks. Everybody had one drink, two drink, maybe three. This motherfucker had 15 drinks, okay? So you want to split everything even because you want everybody to pay for your fucking drinks, okay? I can't stand Split 2. Split 2 is irrational and unfair. Okay? Y'all know who all these people are. So listen, I have one sister who is the accountant. I have another sister, and she is like the Puritan. I like to call her the Puritan. I don't know if she listens to this podcast. But anyway, she's the Puritan, man. And why I say that is because she goes out with people who be drinking. You hear me? Her friends be drinking. But my sister doesn't drink like that. I mean, now she's drinking a little wine and she having a little, you know, hard cider. But she don't be drinking like her friends. So, like, the opposite of the, you know, Split 2, who wants you to pay for all his drinks, I don't think it's fair to the Puritan who doesn't drink. You know, everybody's drinking. Why does the Puritan have to pay
for everybody's drinks. And just because you don't drink, I'm not saying you are a Puritan. I'm just saying these are the names I'm giving people who don't drink, but got to pay for everybody else that does. So the last category has a long name, okay? And it's kind of like, it's kind of like shade to the Puritan, but it's not. And this category is, baby, don't either bother coming. If you're not going to drink, you're gonna get screwed. That's the last category of person that I would just advise you, stay your ass home, because them drinkers are gonna make you mad, okay? They gonna make you mad. So, you know about the rule of me not eating, you know, with more than five people. But, you know, restaurants are at fault sometimes too in this whole thing, right? So we have to have all of these rules. But if restaurants just made it easier for people to just pay their bill and pay what they had to eat without it becoming this whole, you know, business proposition with the accountant at the other end of the table. Why don't restaurants, and once again, convenience. And I'm going to tell you what these two millennials did today. I ain't never seen this done. Never. And I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was a little weird. And I knew that they could get away with it because they are millennials. And, you know, these restaurants ain't trying to fuck with millennials, okay? They'll have protest signs and shit and campaigns and flyers and shit on your ass. So you got to be nice to the millennials. But let me tell you what these young ladies did. When we were looking and, you know, it's got the moment, huh? I'm a splitter. I'm a three splitter even. I'm like, it was three of us. Let's split even. Boom. But one of the young ladies was right. She said, and I love this that she said this. She said, I didn't have a drink. Hello. Hello. Tell it like it is, young lady. Tell it like it is. And if she didn't say that, then we would have done the three-way split and I would never have learned this new thing that they're doing, okay? Next to what they ate, they wrote the last four digits of their social... I'm not sorry. Ugh. They wrote the last four digits of their card. Isn't that something? I'm telling you, you can learn something from a millennial. You can learn something from them. And I said, oh, this is real cute to do it like this. And I just took my card out. I said, here are my last four digits. And then we throw the cards in. And then we give it to the... And there was the server, she was just like, you could tell she didn't want to do that shit. But she was... The millennials was looking up at her like, and yes, this is completely normal. Because I'm like, restaurants, they be giving you mad problems, okay? So let's move on to restaurants and how they can make things more convenient. Number one, take all my fucking credit cards. I'm throwing in here, my debit card, credit card, whatever you want to call it, and just handle it, okay? Sometimes, you know, we went to a restaurant. And this was one of the first times that my daughter's boyfriend ate with us. So he doesn't really know how aggressive I am in restaurants. I could be having the greatest time of my life. You do one thing wrong from a customer service perspective, I will pounce on you. Do you understand? I will literally pounce on you. And my daughters hold their breath. My family, they hold their breath. Like, please, please, waitress slash waiter slash wait person, please don't do the wrong thing in front of my sister. Okay, they be praying for the wait staff. They be praying for management. They be praying for the restaurants, okay? But that's just the way I am. I'm going to be pleasant with you until you do something completely ridiculous, okay? So one of the things, we're in this Mexican restaurant. Now there's six of us. Yeah, but it was family. That don't count. It was six of us, okay? And the man at the bill time, after my sister, the accountant, made sure we all knew how much to pay, we give him the thing. And that motherfucker had the nerve to say two-card limit. I was like, two-card limit? What the hell are you talking about? And he was like, no, I'm sorry, but we cannot take more than two cards. Now, my daughter's boyfriend, not having eaten out with me, you know, that much, he was all trying to figure out what we're gonna do with shit. He was like, well, we can take the card and then I'll get my daughter. Like, both my daughters shushed him, like, honey, don't even think about. Because I looked at the gentleman and I basically treated him like fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi in the bar at, you know, on Star Wars. I was just like, yes, you will. And he was like, yes, I will. I was like, looking at him like he was crazy. Like, are you kidding me? Two card limit? I cannot take more than two cards. Yes, you can. Yes, you can, boo-boo. All right. I don't even know why that rule happens. If you're a wait staff person or you're restaurant industry, I guess I should have asked one of my co-panelists at the Women in Hospitality gathering they had. It was a think tank. It was amazing. Another day to talk about that. But she would be able to answer this for me. Why are you coming up with limits? Okay, so somebody might say, oh, they get charged fees. Okay, so you need to pad your bill so that this doesn't occur. That's not my problem. Okay, stop creating inconvenience because of your lack of, you know, insight into how you could offset the cost of these fees. Okay? I've gone to a really nice restaurant called Gladys. Oh, I love it. You'll see this restaurant on TV every once in a while. It's on Franklin. And they have no problem taking multiple cards. They were like, okay, how much? She comes around. Everything is electronic. Boom, boom, boom. That's how much you want to pay. Boom, boom, boom. Sign right here. And she walks around with the freaking machine. Okay? You could put the tip amount right in there. So stop saying no multiple cards. Either your technology is old or you just lazy. I don't know what it is. Let me tell you something. There's two things going on here. If it's a percentage fee, 15% of the whole bill, if one card is the same as 15% on separate cards, okay? Do the math. Do the math, okay? Understand that. It's the same thing. But if your technology is old, then you got to get new technology, okay? Figure it out. We are moving to the age of restaurants that don't even take cash, okay? We are about to move from this cash, this piece of paper, because at the end of the day, it's just digits from my account going into digits. There's nothing there. There's nothing. There's dots. It's just nothing but numbers moving from my account to yours. That's nothing. And they charge you for nothing. It didn't take a human being to move those numbers over. So these fees, hey, figure it out, restaurants. Figure it out. So I've been in the South, okay? Let me tell you what I was fascinated about in the South. When your server is coming over to take your order, guess what she does, or he, she, or they do? They ask you, is it going to be on one bill, or 15 bills. Shit. How many people at the table? And she places that order accordingly. It's beautiful. I just want to go, mwah. You guys, you get it. You totally get it. It's all about convenience. So, you know, these restaurants got to get better. And like I said, today, putting the numbers next to what you ate, putting the last four digits of your card next to what you ate. I am doing that all the time. And I wish a server would look me in the face like I was crazy, because I'm going to give her the face the millennials gave her. And that was a total look of innocence. Like, yeah, there you go. This is done all the time. So now I left out one of the types, and I left it out for a reason, because, oh gosh, the type that we're about to talk about leads us into another issue. And this is the person that I like to call the cashier. Do y'all know who the cashier is? The cashier is the person who only uses cash. I used to be the cashier years ago when I was hiding from the feds, you know? I only used cash. And let me tell you something. I'm kind of on the fence about the cashier. Okay. And let me tell you why I'm on the fence. Because the cashier is just like, here's my money. I could walk away. I ain't got to worry about this thing coming out my account and then waiting for the tip to be on top of that. The cashier is cool. The cashier is mad cool. But the cashier throws shit off all the time. You understand what I'm saying? Throws shit off. Nobody knows what to pay now. Nobody knows what to pay because the cashier put down cash. So now we all got to go subtract the cash, carry the five, divide by five, divide by four, divide by three, divide by then carry the two, and then we all put a tip on. Cashier fucks everything up. Okay. And then another way that, you know, the cashier fucks things up is a whole nother level of cash now is the, okay, so I have two scenarios. Okay. And here are the scenarios. The scenarios have to do with cash, but it kind of has to do with restaurants who tell you this 2-card limit. It has to do a lot of things. It has to do with, oh shit, I left my card at home. I don't have enough cash. It's a cash only establishment. But this is the age of Venmo. Number one scenario, age of Venmo. And when I say Venmo, that means PayPal, Zelle, Cash App. But you know, let me tell you something about cards, period. This whole Venmo, you know, age of Venmo is best if you're talking about debit card people. Because here's a piece of advice. I don't think that you should pay for anything consumable. And by consumable, I mean, you know, ingestible. I don't think you should pay for, and I'm not talking about pharmaceutical drugs, but maybe I am. Depends on how much they are. But I don't think you should use your credit card unless you're that kind of person who pays off your card in full. I don't think you should use your credit card in restaurants for food. I mean, think about it. This is, you're paying interest or something that's in the literally, you know, literally going to end up in the toilet. I don't believe in that. Okay? I just don't believe in that. So you're paying, let's say you had a party. If you don't have the cash for that, for food, then don't get it. I know that sounds crazy, but borrow some money. Borrow from a friend. Don't borrow from the credit card company. You know, just don't. Just don't. You know, that's all I have to say on Venmo scenario number one. So Venmo scenario number two, and the reason you're doing these Venmo scenarios is because of these stupid ass rules that they have at, you know, the restaurants. So sometimes everybody's scrambling. Oh, I can't use my card. So I can't Venmo you. And then, you know, so it's better to be the person that says, raise their hand and says, I'll Venmo you. Let me tell you, you better say that shit fast. Okay. Say, I'll cash up. I'll tell you. Say your shit fast. Be one of the first people. Because number one, I ain't that person who going to dish out. I'm not going to be one of the two cards. That's just not going to happen. And let me tell you why. I ain't trying to be a collection agency on my friends. Okay. This happens with the Uber share the ride costs too. But it happens with the Venmo. Oh, I'm going to Venmo you. I'll Venmo you. That's what. That's me. I'm going to Venmo you. Because let me tell you something. You dish out $150 on your debit card with the, you know, with the thought that your friends are going to Venmo you, cash up you, or whatever. And let's not talk about the fees, because after a certain point, there is a fee to send money over to your bank, especially if you want to get it that next day. So don't be that person who is the, you know, one paying out first. Try to be the quick I'll Venmo you person, because then you'll end up, you know, like I said, being a collection agency on your friends. Like, first you send them a cute little, you know, emoji or like a Venmo thing, you know. And then you're like sending a Venmo request or Zelle request for funds. You don't want to go there. Okay? Don't do that, boo-boo. You don't want to be that person. So to avoid being that person, just speak up real fast, okay? And say, I'll Venmo you. Okay? And so just bringing this back full circle, hopefully you've gotten some tips on how to handle the situation when that check please is said and when that, you know, billfold is put down there and everybody's just not trying to pick it up. Let's be rational, let's be fair, and let's be friendly. Okay, how does that sound? And I'll end it with that. Toodles.
You've been listening to the Hungry Medium podcast show, hosted and produced by Kat Nyambi. Music written and produced by Oludare Bernard. For information on this podcast and other content, visit us at thehungrymedium.com. Please subscribe to this podcast on Apple and follow us on Spotify. May we always aspire to be divinely fed.